Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Something Super Spiritual. My name is Jeffrey Peck. And my guest today, you guys, is... I love her. Those of you who watched the live stream on YouTube will have already met her, Cynthia Fontaine. And she is an absolute stitch. She's hilarious. Her stories are so engaging and so, well, miraculous. I mean, they really like touch you from the inside out. Starting from childbirth, where psychic mediums and spiritual connection runs through their generations. So much so that her grandmother checked her to see if she had the mark. And the mark is on the roof of the mouth, and it's in the shape of like a white horseshoe or something like that. Anyway, her grandmother saw it in her brother. So this is like she was groomed from the very beginning. That spirituality is very natural, which it is. And it was fostered and nurtured. And I just think that is, wow, that is so cool. That is so cool. So Cynthia is here talking about her journey, her stories of spirit and how spirit really got her attention through her grandmother, through a teacher who happened to be a really bad psychic, but a really great teacher that was just meant to, you know, to inspire that confidence and instill that within Cynthia. And it's just, she's got such great stories. The stories that she tells in this episode, you guys, are just, they just give you chili bumps. From her experiencing animal communication spontaneously, to the healing of horses, animals, healing people, cancer disappearing. I mean, her Native American teachings with regard to healing, all of that experience. Yeah, she's awesome. She is an animal communicator, a healer, a psychic medium, a podcast host, a teacher slash mentor slash coach, and she's awesome, you guys. Oh, you're going to love her. And quickly, I know a few of you have been inquiring about Sedona in October. There is one seat left, you guys. One out of 45. It's been less than 6 weeks. And it's amazing. If you might be called to the Reiki workshop, level 1 and 2, which is October 20th through the 22nd, there are 8 seats left available as of April 4th, 2024, today. So if you are, might be interested or you have any questions, please go to my website, jeffreypeck.com, or email me. You know, just go to my website and click the contact button and email me whatever questions you might have. So I'll leave that with you guys. And also, one last thing, if you might feel moved to do so, I would ask you to please go to the rating and reviews and 5-star our show with a little bit of a little blurb about why this means so much to you. That would be awesome. I really am starting to feel this urge to be a little bit more proactive in getting this out there to those who are searching. From what I understand, the more people that, you know, go in and touch those parts of the show, the rating and reviews, it like pings the algorithm in a little bit bigger or different way or whatever to get it out there in front of people's faces. So that'd be awesome, you guys. All right. You all have a wonderful week and we'll be in touch again very soon. Hey there. Thank you so much for listening to Something Super Spiritual. My name is Jeffrey Peck, and I am a psychic medium. If you are seeking conversation with loved ones on the other side, or discussion about spirituality, life after life, and anything in between, join me as we discuss all things spirit. We are collectively experiencing a spiritual awakening right now and recognizing that we are much, much more than we once believed. We don't die and life doesn't end. We are eternal spiritual beings living in this crazy 3D virtual world of existence. Let's talk about it. Cynthia Fontaine, welcome to Something Super Spiritual. I am so happy to be sitting here with you. And like we were briefly speaking before we got started, I feel like I already know you. I feel like I should have known you. It's like reconnecting with a friend from the past and just starting right from where we left off.
Oh my gosh, Jeffrey, I have like bubbles inside.
Me too.
It is such an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. And same, I feel like that we have known each other forever. Totally. You know, I'm sure we've traveled in other lifetimes together, no doubt. And why it's taken us so long to get together this time around, I don't know. But now we're here and I'm sure it's going to lead to some really fun and beautiful things together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're here to talk about my absolute passion from the very core and share. And that's why we're here doing what we do. You know, you guys, Cynthia is an incredible psychic medium. She's an amazing teacher. You're off out of the East Coast. Where are you exactly?
I'm in New England.
New England. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in a really great area because I'm close to Boston. I'm close to New York.
Sweet.
I'm close to Providence. It's like, no matter what direction I go in, I can be there in, you know, a really short time.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And we have Cynthia here to talk about the path, the journey, the mystical synchronicities that spirit hands us in the form of little breadcrumbs that just keep us going. Yeah. You know what, Cynthia, let's just start at the beginning. Like, were you dialed in to spirit the way, you know, from the crib? Were you talking to your grandparents from the crib?
So my grandparents were still alive when I was in the crib. But interesting thing about that is my grandmother, my mother's mother, did this work. And as soon as the babies were born in the family, she would crank our mouths open and look for a sign on the roof of our mouths. And my older brother and I both have the mark. So we knew from birth that my older brother and I were born psychic. So that's the way I started my life. And we lived with my grandparents until my second brother was born. So I would have been around 2, 2.5. And then I went back and lived with my grandparents a couple of times throughout my life until I was 20, around 20, 21. I lived with them after high school and then for several years. But I spent every weekend with my grandmother, my grandparents, but my grandfather was out in the garage doing his working on the car thing, which is where I wanted to be. I wanted to be out in the garage working on the cars. But I wasn't allowed because I was a girl. But now I'm so glad that that's the way it worked out, because my brother didn't have the benefit of spending so much time with our grandmother, and he didn't learn how to, you know, use the tools. And really what she really taught me was she gave me a solid foundation in the belief of spirit and that there's something bigger than us. And there's always help on the other side, right? Wow. Always help on the other side. So she had a really, really strong faith. She wasn't religious, but she had a really strong faith. I mean, her house, she had altars everywhere. And yeah, so I feel really lucky to have spent so much time with her growing up. Absolutely. And even as a young adult.
What a blessing. I mean, like, that is like, that's like a dream.
Yeah.
A dream. I mean, to look back and to have that instilled in us from that very moment. What does the mark look like I want to go in with the flashlight and my phone and see what's going on in there. What is the mark?
It's a horseshoe.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's the shape of a horseshoe. It's a white horseshoe and the roof of my mouth and a line down the middle of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so she was dialed in. She's been your, it sounds like it runs through the family. And
Yeah. But the interesting thing is I knew it was on my mom's side of the family, but what I learned later on, probably not until I was in my 40s, is it actually goes back further on my father's side of the family. Yeah, but I had no idea. And it wasn't until I came out of the psychic closet with that side of the family, because, my mom's side of the family, everybody knew I was psychic. I was supposed to be a psychic. That's what I was born to be. So didn't even have to talk about it. But my dad's side of the family, my grandparents were very religious, church every Sunday. The whole family went to church, Christmas mass, Easter mass, the whole shebang. So I never talked about it with them. And so when I finally came out of the psychic closet with them, they were thrilled, which I was really surprised about. And that's when I started hearing stories and learning about my great grandmother, who was a medicine woman who everybody in there were two doctors in Newport, Rhode Island, Dr. Corrales and my grandmother, my great grandmother. She wasn't a medical doctor, but everybody came to her for remedies. And she midwifed, she birthed half the babies in Newport at that time in the very early late 1800s and early 1900s. And then I started hearing stories from my uncle, who he said it was so funny. He's so cute. He's 92 now. And he said to me one day, I used to deliver his mail because I delivered messages in a different way for 26 years. A whole story. And so I actually had my aunt and uncle lived on my mail route. So I would have lunch with them, regularly and everything. And I don't know why my thing is flashing. The meeting has ended. So AI is not perfect yet. So
Yeah.
we'll just ignore that. We'll just ignore that.
Pay no
So
attention.
pay no attention to that. So my uncle one day pulls up. I'm filling my mail sack with mails to start a new street. And he pulls up and he starts talking and he says, I think I have what you have. And I said, really? Well, what makes you think that, uncle? He said, well, he says, one time the rural boys, this is the fisherman, because my uncle was a welder and worked on all the fishing boats in Newport. And my great grandfather was a fisherman and had a fishing boat. And so all the boys grew up on the fishing boats. So anyway, he says, one time the rural boys asked me to look at a boat, look at a fishing vessel. And I went on it and looked great, looked really fine, didn't see any problems or anything. He says, I told them to buy engine insurance. And they turned to me and says, why, Joe? Do you see something wrong with the engine? He says, no, I just think you need to buy engine insurance. And he says, 3 weeks later, they're out to sea fishing and the engine blew up. And if they hadn't bought the insurance, they would have been bankrupt because the engine at that time cost $100,000.
Oh my gosh.
So then my family started getting really interested in what I was doing and how I do it. And so it's really been kind of fun. And then that's when I started learning, about, my other relatives, where this goes back pretty far in on my dad's side. My grandmother's side, my mom's side, it only goes back maybe like 4 or 5 generations as far as I know, but we lost trail of on my grandmother's side, so I don't know for sure. But anyway, so it's fun. I didn't always think this was fun. I didn't always appreciate the abilities that I have now. But I really do now. I feel really, really lucky to be able to do what we do in the world. I feel really blessed to be able to
Oh,
do it.
yeah, completely.
Yeah.
So, as a child, then through school, grade school, high school, all that stuff, were you picking up on things with your friends, with the people around you? Did you sense their loved ones from the start, or?
So I didn't actually. I saw a lot of animals when I was a kid. I used to have this lioness. She would be on my bed, and I didn't know why. She would just be there. And she was with me for a really long time. And I saw a lot of animals, as a kid growing up who had passed, or spirit animals. I didn't know about that we have spirit animals back then. And I didn't really, I kind of shut it off, I think, because my grandparents' house was haunted.
Oh.
So the upstairs, nobody went upstairs in their house. And when you did, it's like you ran up fast and ran back down. The couple that originally built the house were still in the house.
Okay.
And so I didn't want to like, it freaked me out. I didn't want to like deal with that or anything. And I had sort of a, I don't know, growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends. I grew up in a neighborhood that was all boys. And the boys didn't want to play with me because I was a girl. Girls have cooties growing up, kind of thing. And there were only two girls in the whole neighborhood, and they were older than me. So they didn't want to play with me either. So I spent a lot of time in my room playing by myself, maybe with playing with imaginary friends, which of course I know now, I didn't know then, or just your spirit guides. And so it was really a sort of a, it was kind of a lonely childhood. Even though I'm from a family of five kids, my brother, I would play with my brothers, but my young sisters are a lot younger, so there's an age gap, so we didn't really hang out or play. By the time they were playing, I was in high school and then gone out of the
Oh,
house.
sure.
So yeah, so I can't say that I didn't like encounter a lot of spirit people growing up. It was more spirit animals. And I think, it was because I turned it off because of the creepy people that were upstairs in my
Oh,
grandparents' house.
sure. When you say you would see the animals, do you mean with your physical eyes or with your third eye?
With my third eye.
Okay.
Yeah, I would see them with my third eye and I would just know they were there, And so animals were a real comfort for me. I had a sort of difficult growing up. My grandfather was kind of abusive and I'd get locked in closets and kicked downstairs. And so, I sort of shut things off just to be able to survive, I think. And animals were really sort of my saving grace,
Oh, yeah. Your safe space.
My safe space were animals. My grandparents had a farm, so I'd go out and I'd hang out with the animals. And then we had down the end of our street, there was a girl that had horses. So I'd go down and I'd clean the stalls and brush the horses. And we couldn't ride because my parents couldn't afford it. But at the end of the summer, if you worked all summer, she'd let you have like a 5-minute ride.
Oh.
But I didn't care. It's like I just, as long as I could be with the horses. There was this one,
Oh.
she was a really pretty quarter horse. Her name was Joy, and I used to brush her and I'd read stories to her. She'd lay on in her stall and I'd just go into the stall and read her stories. And I spent a lot of time, once I was allowed to sort of go out and roam the neighborhood, I spent a lot of time down at that barn when I wasn't at my grandparents' house. And it's interesting because when I started my career, I started doing animal communication because I didn't want to work with people.
Oh, I was just, that was going to be my next question. I mean, that just makes all the sense in the world.
And it was the craziest thing how it happened. I had spirit was pushing me to get out of the post office. I had a injury after injury. I had this really big injury where my spinal surgeon said, "You'll never go back to deliver mail again. You can't." But I'm a little stubborn and I don't like to be told that I can't do something.
Right.
It was 2 years, but I did get back to delivering mail. But in the meantime, I spent a lot of time at the barn because my daughter was riding horses at the time. And so I could drive only for 10 minutes for 6 months or so. For 6 months, I couldn't drive at all. When I could drive 10 minutes. So I'd drive to the barn with my take my daughter and I'd sit there. And I'm in the barn one day going to get a crop for one of the kids. And I'm walking through the barn and I hear, "Hey." And I'm looking all around and there's nobody there. And I said, "Either I'm taking too many pain medications or I'm going crazy. I'm losing my mind." So I try to ignore it, go to get the crop, turn around, coming back through the barn, same place. I hear, "Hey, I don't like my new name, but I like cows and I like cats." And I went, "Oh my God, I'm really losing my mind, or I'm really taking too much pain medication." There's one horse in the barn, and he's looking right at me. And I'd never seen this horse before because I hadn't been to the barn in 6 months because of the injury that I had had. And I looked at him and I said, "Did you say something?" He said, "Yeah, I don't like my new name, and I like horses, I like cows, and I like cats." And I went, "Oh my God." So the little girl who had just gotten the horse 6 days before had was there that day. And I didn't know anything about this horse. The horse that she had previously, that my daughter actually showed her horse, was she traded it in for a bigger horse, traded the pony in for a full-size horse. And I went, "Oh my God, Beckett." And I share the story because I have permission. "Did you change Bandit's name when you got him?" She says, "Oh yeah, his name was Texas Rose. He was from Texas. I didn't like it, so I changed it." I said, "Oh, I think you want to change it back." And then I said, "Has he ever seen cows or cats?" And she said, "Oh yeah, he lived on a cow farm, and a cat was his best friend that would be in his stall with him all the time." And I went, "Oh my God." Well, then all the horses in the barn started talking to me.
Oh my God.
And so
Wow.
I read every horse in the barn, and then word started getting out in the area that I had other barns calling me, and I was working with other in other barns and other horses, and I was really building a big bait client base working with horses. And then as one of the horse clients that I was working with, her sister-in-law had a dog who had some real health problems. And she says, "Do you think you can talk to the dog?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm willing to give it a try." So I went and met the dog. The woman had dog groomers, and she put us in this little tiny office that just barely had enough room to stand up in. And there were seven of us in the office and this standard size poodle. So I sit on the floor and everybody's like crammed in, standing around. And the owner says she won't get near you. She's afraid of everybody. And in 30 seconds, the dog was literally sitting on my lap. And it was such a profound experience because, she actually, what I learned from that experience and from other experiences that I had leading up to that is some animals come with the purpose of helping their person, especially when with medical issues. The dog had the same medical issues as the woman,
Oh my goodness.
same exact conditions. And the dog, I mean, we were in tears. I was in tears. And the dog was saying that she came to help because her person was supposed to stay here on the planet. And she came to take her medical problem so that she could stay. I've got the truth bumps on that, or the
Oh my
God
God,
bumps.
me too. Totally. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we're in tears at this point. And they brought me in because the vets were at the end of the line. They said there was nothing more they could do. And the woman wanted to, be sure that she had done everything possible. And then as if that weren't enough, the dog says that the couple couldn't have children, biological children, because of the woman's health problems. And they were in the process of adopting. And they were looking at this little boy, and the dog knew that the little boy wasn't the right match for them. And the dog said, and I mean, how do you tell somebody, "Hey, this kid's not the right kid for you"? And then you feel bad for the kid, right? So how I approach it was, you know, this is a really huge step. You need to be really sure that it's a good fit. So take your time, spend a lot of time. I said, but the doc is saying you need to get a crystal. And I'm thinking physical crystal, right? And I'm going through all the list of all the crystals I could think of. And I'm going, it's not rose quartz, it's not carnelian, it's not da 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 da. And I said, I'm not sure what it is, but the dog is saying you have to get a crystal. I said, get a rose quartz. They actually had some at the aquarium up the street, really inexpensively. I said, go grab a piece of rose quartz. And that's not it, but it's always nice to have in the house.
Yeah, sure.
Three weeks later, she calls me screaming over the top hysterically because they found their crystal. Their crystal was a five-year-old girl.
Stop.
The dog knew the little girl, the kid they were supposed to adopt, his name was Crystal. And they adopted Crystal. Crystal is now in her 20s.
Oh, I have chili bumps everywhere.
Everywhere. She's in the military. The couple, they're a fabulous couple. They would often have Crystal's siblings, you know, and everything, because she had a lot of siblings. And unfortunately, they couldn't adopt any more kids other than Crystal, but they always had Crystal's siblings, included them. And so they give this, you know, they give the kid a really, really great opportunity, and also helped her siblings too. But, you know, it's one of those stories that just makes me feel so great.
Oh,
you know, and just having the first time I'd ever communicated with a dog. And so, like, this is the thing, right? I didn't know how to interpret the crystal. My human mind was thinking crystal stone, right? Sure. Crystal rock. But the dog knew it wasn't a crystal and could express to me that it wasn't like a rock, but my human mind couldn't wrap around that Crystal could have been a kid.
Right, right.
Awesome. You know, so yeah, so that was really a cool story. And so anyway, I have tons of them.
So, when was this? Like, which decade for you? Was this your 40s or 30s?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, 20 plus years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would have been 30s. Yeah, late 30s. Okay.
So yeah. You started out then communicating with the animals the way that you did, obviously, with the horses and the dogs. Yeah. And then what? Like, when did the mediumship happen?
Well, so the mediumship kind of started, it came on gradually. Up until that point, I had been studying. I'd worked with a Celtic shaman. I had studied with two Native American chiefs. I learned healing from one. The other was just sort of like general teachings, how to be with the earth and so forth.
Sure.
And I did sweat lodges, and I went to drum circles and that sort of thing. And so there were always like little things here and there that would come through. But I had an incident that happened in, I want to say it was 89, where I had, or 90, I was seeing a card reader and it didn't go so well. And so that's actually the reason why I didn't do this work for a long time. It's been a good thing because it's made me make my mission to help people understand never to give your power away.
Yes.
And ethics, right? Because I didn't know about ethics. I didn't know you shouldn't be seeing a card reader or a psychic every week, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
And so it went really badly. Things happened. She told really quickly, because I know her. Oh my God, we could talk for days.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I love it though. Keep going.
She told me, I went to see her because I was married at the time, and I had been married a little more than a year, and my then husband switched jobs. He worked nights, I worked days. We saw each other on Sundays. It was great. It was a match made in heaven until he started working days and then was coming home every night totally intoxicated. And So he had five accidents in a year. Three, I had a son, and when I married him, I had already had my son, and he had my son in the car three of those times.
Oh
So
no.
yeah, so I went to my aunt and my grandmother, and I said, "Oh my God, what do I do?" They're like, "Go see our card reader." Well, the card reader told me he was going to die in a car accident. So that really put me over the edge because, here I'm thinking it, now I'm like, oh my God, what if my son is in the car? So anyway, so I went back to her every week. You can't, this has got to, it's got to be changed. That's not what, you can't be seeing this. Anyway, after a few months, I was driving his car and I got into a car accident. Driving his car, and the person I got into the car accident with passed away.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And it was horrible, obviously. And it took me a long time, years, to actually heal from that, mentally and emotionally.
Sure.
But I went back to her when I had the courage to get behind the wheel and drive again. And I said, "This has to be what you saw. I was driving his car." And she said it wasn't. He's going to die in a car accident. And it really turned my life upside down. I made a lot of choices I would not have made. And it my life really got chaotic. Thankfully, I had that strong spiritual foundation that I had from my grandmother. I got lots of counseling, but even that, I had this wacky counselor. It's a whole long story. That thought all my problems were mommy problems, and that I needed to have a intimate relationship with another woman to solve them in his office. So
Oh my God.
if I wasn't dealing with enough, right? So I've really made it my mission to learn a lot about human behavior, about, ethics in this work. And so when I work with people, I really work in a different way than a lot of people out there. People don't just come to me for a straight on reading, and if they do, they don't get that because I work as a prescriptive psychic.
Yeah.
And in all the years I've done this work, I've only turned one person away because she wanted a full out straight predictive reading, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I won't do it. It only has so much value." And the window that I'm looking through is spot on for this moment. And as soon as you drive out of my driveway and you maybe decide to make a different choice, then you go right instead of left, everything can change. I said, I work in a way where I give people tools to help them live their best life. And that came from all those, terrible things that happened.
Sure.
So I have it's been a really crazy life. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just the tip of the iceberg. But so then, I was still learning through all that time. And that's when after that, when, having these crazy therapists and whatever, that's when I really got into the medicine work. That's when I started going, and I was sort of welcomed into a Mi'kmaq tribe up in Maine. And so I did a lot of circles with them. I did a lot of, sweat lodges and drum circles. And that's where I met Chief White Eagle. He was from New York, but he would come down to my area. And so that was really sort of like the turnaround point for me where I said, okay, there's a way to do this work ethically. And so I just kept learning and learning and learning and learning. And it was probably around, gosh, I want to say maybe like 97, 98. I had a friend who was getting divorced or trying to decide if she was going to get divorced. And I had not seen a card reader or an intuitive or a psychic since that happened almost 10 years before.
Sure.
But I knew that somebody good could help her. There was a tea and herb shop where I delivered the mail, and I knew the owner. I talked to her for years going in there, and I felt comfortable. And I said, okay, she was having a Halloween thing. I said, is there somebody who you would recommend? So there was. So I brought my friend, and then I went in for a reading. And it was kind of funny because she didn't get anything for me. Everything she told me was for my friend. who had just left her room. And then, but the one thing she got right was she said, "You're a psychic and you're not doing the work."
Oof.
And I, oh. And then this woman made it her mission to start teaching me. And she would call me once a week. She would come to my house. She never charged me a penny. She just took it on as her mission to teach me. And she taught me a lot of things. And one of those things was the wrong things, the things I didn't want to be, but it was good. It was good experience.
Sure.
And so that was when I started, she was the one that pushed me to actually start doing readings, but I freaked out at first. I went and I did a few parties with her. It was so overwhelming. I was just like, nope, I'm not doing this. And then shortly after that, that's when I had the neck injury. And then that's when the horses came through.
You said you had a whole bunch of examples of that truly healing experiences with the animals. When you say that, you know, when you said that you heard them, did you hear a voice inside your head? Like, what, or did the voice, did it sound like your voice inside your head, or did it sound like another, a different tone altogether?
It was a completely different voice. It was not my voice. And what I learned from working with hundreds and hundreds of animals over the 3-year period when I was just focused on that, every single one of them has a voice that's unique, just like ours. They just don't have the vocal cords to be able to express that voice.
Interesting. I love this.
Yeah, really interesting. I had some real characters. And one of them was, he was a horse named Sir Lancelot. And he was a big Frisian. And nobody had ridden him in over a year. This was the first barn that my daughter rode in, where I read every horse in that barn. And his owner didn't know what to do with him. She really wanted her 10-year-old granddaughter to ride him and show him. But anybody that rode him, he would slam them into walls. He would, you know, buck like a lunatic to get them off. You know, he was hurting people. So she asked me to talk with him, and I did. And I said, he wants to be retired. I said, he can't promise that he will not hurt your granddaughter. I said, sometimes I can negotiate with them. And he said he would do his best not to, but he couldn't promise. And the interesting thing is, she had already been talking to her sister about retiring him to her farm.
Oh, wow.
And he already knew it.
Yeah.
And so that was really a cool experience. But, and his voice was very, he was Sir Lancelot, and he liked to be called Sir Lancelot. Not, they called him Lance, but he preferred Sir Lancelot. He was very formal. And so they all have their own voices, just like we do. And that part was, you know, really interesting to discover that.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, that's like, but again, I guess it's not surprising, because of all the pets that I've had, each one of them has had such a unique personality where, you know, yeah, I mean, that just, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
When you were getting this going, doing this, the animal communication, you were obviously in person with these animals, you know,
yes,
at the barns and stuff. So yes. did it ever move to, you know, where you were doing it remotely?
Oh yes, it did. Yeah. 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 I mean, I love to be in person with horses, because I say horses saved me growing up.
Sure. There's that a connection time there.
Yeah, that time at the barn, you know, really, really saved me in so many ways. So I love to be in person with the horses when I can be, but it's not necessary. I had a client today who has got a couple of horses that are going to the Olympic trials. And so I do work remotely with people with their animals now. It's not my primary focus, but I still do, because I love the horses anyway. And so it's interesting. But again, it's always the people that have the real problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us another story. Tell us another good story.
So you asked about, the healing work and sort of like when
Yes.
did that really start? And it actually started with the horses.
Okay.
And so I was, I went and got my Reiki master, and your hands just turn on once you're
Oh,
attuned
sure.
and are in that work. So whenever I was working with the horses, my hands would just turn on. They'd get hot, and the energy would be running through.
Sometimes it
And
feels like a fire hose. You can feel it coming,
yeah,
just like, yeah.
totally, totally. So I had this one horse client who called me one night. It was in the middle of winter, and it was a really, really cold winter that year, and it was below freezing. Her pony went down, and she said, "The vet can't be here for an hour. Can you come?" And I was about maybe 20, 25 minutes away. It was a snowstorm. I'm like, "Yes, I'll come." And I said to my daughter at the time, I'm like, "I gotta go. You'll go to sleep. I'll be home when I get home, but just go to sleep." She was older. But so anyway, so I drove out, and the horse was completely down. And when a horse stays down for too long, then you can't get them back up, right? The horse colicked, and once they're down when they colic, it's very often, can be the end of the road. So I was working on the horse. The vet came in a little while later, and the vet didn't think the horse was going to make it because we could not get this horse up. And she looked at me and she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Give me a minute." And I felt this lightning bolt come through my body and out my hand, which I had on her chest, and I had the other hand behind her front legs. I felt this lightning bolt come through my body and into the horse's chest. And I looked at the vet and I said, "I think she's going to make it." And 10 minutes later, we had the horse on her feet. So that's when I knew that there was something going on with me with the healing. I always say it's not me, it just comes through me.
Truth. Yeah, that's it.
And yeah, and that was such a powerful experience for me because it was like this huge electric charge just came right through me. And it was like when you jump start a car,
Yeah.
and the horse made it. We got the horse up, and she lived a good long life after that.
Was she talking to you at all during those? While she was laying there on the ground.
A little bit, but I wanted her more to conserve her energy, and I had worked with this horse before, and so I knew the horse pretty well, and it was really me talking to her like, "Okay, come on, is this your time? I don't think it is. What do you think?" And it was really me, dialoguing with her a lot. And she was the cutest little thing. And like I said, I was really happy that she pulled through, that happened, and she pulled through. And the vet was like, "Wow."
Yeah. That's
Had some
awesome.
really incredible experiences around healing, around the work that I do as a psychic, but also around healing as well. Twice they were looking at my work to be going to the New England Journal of Medicine, but unfortunately it was just too woo woo. Yeah, I worked with, do you want me to tell you?
Please. Yeah.
So this same horse client that had the horse that was down, her best friend was up for Flor from Florida sometime after this to visit for Christmas. And she said, "I want to give my friend a reading with you for Christmas." Now, I just started reading people at that point. So she says, "I'll pick you up." And the woman was staying at her daughter-in-law's and son's, which was only like a half a mile from my house. So at that time, I would go to people's houses locally. And so she picks me up, takes me over. And I walk in the door, and there's this young woman standing at the top of the stairs with a baby on her hip and a diaper. And I look up at the top of the stairs and I say, don't believe what they tell you, you're going to make it. And I go downstairs and do the reading for our mother-in-law. And she's upstairs going, what the F and who is this woman? And how does she, I don't know who this is. And what does she know? And she calls her husband up like, have you been talking about me around town? And da 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 da. So I do the reading for her mother-in-law, you know, which was interesting. And for, you know, I want to share one really quick thing from that reading was her mother-in-law had a car accident on her chart. And often I have seen a lot of readers read sort of to the dark side of the things, to the drama side of things, to the, oh my God, you've got a car accident on your chart. And da, da, da. So we can make things worse than what they could be. And I said to her, okay, look, you got a car accident on your chart. So here's the deal. You have control, right? Even though this is charted, you know, now you can choose to drive safely. No eating, no texting, no drinking soda, no smoking cigarettes, just drive the car.
Yeah.
And when you're with somebody else, same. 2 weeks later, she calls me, had the car accident, broke her arm, no big deal, went on with her life. Now, in the meantime, finish her reading. I go upstairs and spend the next 3 hours with her daughter-in-law. And I say, look, I don't care what they say. And I share the story because it was actually a testimony on my website for years because I have her permission. And, she, you know, I said, I don't care what they say at Dana-Farber. And Dana-Farber is a fabulous hospital. It's one of the best hospitals in the U.S. and, you know, around the world. And I said, I don't care what they say. You're going to make it. They had sent her home 2 weeks prior and told her to make her final arrangements. She was 27. Had a five-year-old and a five-month-old. I said, this is not the end of the road for you. You are going to make it. And then I took her on as a student and I would coach her. I taught her how to meditate. I did this thing with her where anytime she felt anxious or upset, I said, the Tao scrubbing bubbles, go look up them on. We didn't. Did we have YouTube then? I don't know if we did, but she remembered the commercial anyway. For people who don't know the commercial, they can look it up on YouTube, I'm sure. But I said, every time you're feeling anxious, overwhelming, you're going to imagine the Tao scrubbing bubbles going through your whole body, scrubbing every cell clean. And then when you find a cell that doesn't look right, you're going to take a Jedi lightsaber and you're going to smash it to bits. She was 27. She's now 44. She's had two more bouts with cancer. One was a blood type of cancer and her insurance would not pay for her treatment. And I said, it's okay. I had 1 7-minute healing session with her. And 3 weeks later, when she went back for her blood work, she was cancer free.
Oh my goodness.
So that was the first time when the medical doctors were like, And then she got a tumor behind one of her eyes. And my team, my guide said, you can't touch it. You have taught her everything she needs. She has to take care of this herself. And it was hard for me not to just go in and, you know, do what I knew how to do. But they said, no, you can't. You'll be creating karma. You have taught her. And if she doesn't start healing herself, then she is going to keep creating cancer in her body. She was prepped for surgery. They did a scan, x-ray or whatever it was they did on her eye. And the doctor said, the tumor is gone. As they were prepping her for surgery. Yeah. And then in 2012, I think it was 2012, she was exhausted all the time. She was having chest pain, tired. Her doctors were like, you're a hypochondriac. There's nothing wrong with you. Well, she had a heart attack while she was driving. Luckily, her older daughter was with her. So she called 911, got her to the hospital right away, which saved her life. And she has these two cardiac conditions that no doctor in the world has seen the two of them together in one patient.
Oh my gosh.
She's got specialists, heart specialists around the world. And she, the heart function, or her heart function has been down as low as 27, however they measure it, only working 27%. And they said the heart can't fix it. It can't fix itself. And we'd work on her and it'd get up to 56% functioning. And her doctor was like, "This is impossible. What are you doing?" And so she told him. And we went back and forth, for a while. And finally he said, "I can't write it up. We have to be able to replicate it. There's just not enough scientific evidence to write this up." So it was disappointing, but she's been through a lot,
I'd
and
say.
unfortunately, yeah, and unfortunately the conditions she has is not operable. She's had some things done that, they didn't think she would survive this long. It's been 12 years. But she still uses the tools that I taught her, and it's a miracle. I don't know why it works, how it works. It works. Does everyone heal? No.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I wanted to ask that, coming from the Reiki background that I have, 2006, I studied nonstop for well over 5 years with, four or five different masters. I just couldn't get enough, right? I just couldn't get enough. And that question, where I've had truly miraculous experiences with people where, somebody had lupus that came to me and you don't know what's going on with anybody that's coming to you. It just, and then they leave and they're completely like, okay, miraculously okay. And it's astounding. But then you've got the people who come and, and nothing happens. What is why, what is the reasoning? What do we tell them? What is, what, where, wh what?
I mean, that's a hard one because healing is really a personal thing between the individual and their higher power, whatever that is for people. And it's also the life that you've charted in this lifetime. I've seen people's charts where, my understanding working with the team of guides that I have for so many years is we sit down on the other side with our team and they say, "Okay, what do you want to do in this lifetime?" And you go, "Okay, so I want to focus on this." We pick one main theme. And then they say, "Okay, so we're going to put some blocks, boulders in here of things that are going to happen to get you to be able to push through and get you to be able to learn this lesson for this soul growth and expansion."
Sure.
And it actually wasn't until my brother, my younger brother, completed trigger warning for people, completed suicide. And it wasn't until that happened that I saw a chart that ended at an early age. There was nothing for him past 47. And I didn't wasn't couldn't look at the chart for about 6 months till about 6 months after he passed away, because if you don't have permission, you don't look,
Sure.
even if it's your family, because that's an ethical thing, right? And that's when I started to understand that some people don't choose an old age ending point because we choose, exit points. I've seen as many as 9 exit points now. I used to see anywhere from 3 to 5, but it's expanded. Then it would go to 7. Now I've seen as many as 9 exit points, where, and an exit point can be, when there's a car accident, when there's a fall down the stairs, when there's a diagnosis, that can be an exit point. But even that, I mean, we for if people are, do you know Anita Marjani?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So, and if your listeners don't know, or my listeners, because I'll have my listeners come over too. If they don't know who she is, you have to look her up. She had her last rites, and the
Oh.
doctor said, that come now because she's going. And she's one of the, you know, biggest spiritual teachers now.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the, around the globe, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's not between you and the doctors. It's between you and your higher power, whatever you believe in, whoever you call that.
I agree. Yeah.
And what you charted to do when you were on the other side.
You know, and this makes all the sense in the world to me. I agree. This is how I explain it too. And I also had an experience where I was working on somebody who I don't remember exactly which stage the cancer was, but it was up there. I don't think it was quite at four. Is four the highest?
Yeah, I think five might be.
Okay.
I think there's four, and then I think there's like stage four. It might be the worst. I don't know.
Whichever one it was, but it was like it verge of worst.
Yeah.
And you know, I worked the Reiki. I had her on my table. I don't know how many times. And physically, she was not changing. And you know, there was disappointment there. Understandably, there was disappointment. But we were all hopeful and you know, positive and optimistic. And she was optimistic and hopeful. But after it was all said and done, you know, she had made her way to the other side. Gracefully, I might add. And her daughter came to me, you know, later, and she said, you know, although it did not heal her physically,
yes,
it brought a level of peace to her that she was not experiencing before we ever even tried. There was a level of calm, a level of acceptance, a level of surrender that, you know, she hadn't been able to find within herself. And the Reiki, that the sessions just really elevated her spirit and emotions and mental state to the place where she was able to exit in such a state of grace and peace, which, I mean, beautiful. I mean, and that was what was meant to be for her journey. That was what was meant to be for the people watching her go through this journey. It was incredible. You know,
yeah. And you know, that's an important thing, because we often think we want to pray for healing for people, but healing, physical healing, might not be what's in their highest and best good. So I always say to people, pray for what's in someone's highest and best good, not for healing, but whatever is in for their highest and best good. True. And I experienced a similar situation to that when I was in healer school. It was my second year of healer school, and two of my classmates got cancer, and they both, it went very quickly. The cancer spread very quickly, and they both passed away, but one of them passed away right at the end of our second year. But she came back for the second year at healer school. My other friend, who I became very close with, I stayed with her, you know, during healer school weekends and everything. She didn't come back for the second year of healer school. And she really struggled. Ari came back for the second year of healer school. She couldn't always physically be there, but she came back, and she came to our last weekend, and we could see, even though her body clearly was not healed or healing or was going to heal, she, on a mental, emotional, psychological level, was 100% completely healed. And it was such an incredible experience for us, and such a great learning experience, because we saw it happen before our eyes. And our other, you know, dear friend and classmate didn't have that same process. But it's interesting, because we all do things differently, right? But she totally was healed on a higher level, on an emotional level, when she passed away. And it was really beautiful. And I used to I used to call her up. She had trouble sleeping. So I would call her and sing to her until she fell asleep. And it was just, she was such a, it was just such a beautiful experience to go through that with her. And the first year of healer school, I was like, oh my God, who is this woman? She's like, she's what we call a creative idealist, all over the place, you know, doesn't, couldn't have a complete thought. And anyway, and then we became the best of friends by the second year of healer school. And it was such a gift to have her in my life and just witness that healing, you know, similar to what you experienced.
It's
Yeah.
huge. It's just huge.
Yeah. So even if the physical body doesn't heal, you know, the emotional part of us can heal.
The emotional body is a very real body. The mental body is a very real body. Spiritual body,
Yeah.
very real body, you know,
Yes.
ethereal body. It's all, there's so much to us energetically that, you know, we're, you know, science will one day be able to recognize this in a way where, you know, like science can see gamma rays and microwaves and, you know, all that stuff today. But, you know,
Right.
it's coming.
Right. You know, and I mean, there's a lot of sort of hush-hush research and has been for years at some of the bigger universities with psychics and healing
Oh,
and
yeah.
things like that. And, you know,
Oh, I
hopefully
love
one of
that.
these days they'll let it out of the bag.
Yeah, I love that.
Even the government has used psychics for decades.
Oh yeah, in the CIA and yeah.
Yeah.
In the military. Oh gosh, yeah. The remote
Yes.
viewing. Oh my, those stories, those oh yeah,
Yeah.
that's amazing.
I can tell you some stories about
Oh
that.
my God. Well, we have to save something for you for
Oh
your
my goodness. Well, no, because then you're going to tell me all about you and your stories.
Oh my gosh.
So we could talk for
We could go
days.
on and on and on. I know. It's awesome. I love this so much. Okay. So, where can people find you? And what do you have coming up that people will want to be informed about? Events,
So
classes, workshops, readings, you know, things like that.
awesome, awesome. Super simple to find me, CynthiaFontaine.com.
Oh, that's easy.
It's easy. Yeah, I try to keep it simple. On social, Cynthia Fontaine dash underscore psychic. It's super easy to find me. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Insta, I'm on what's the other ones? Twitter, not so much. TikTok. TikTok's actually my favorite. I have to say, I can't learn a lot on TikTok. But anyway, Clubhouse, I'm on Clubhouse from time to time. People don't have that audio app. It might be worth downloading it. And my second season podcast is getting ready to launch.
Awesome.
So actually this week. And I have some really great guests lining up, including Jeffrey Peck.
Yours truly.
Yours truly. And then I am working. I have a couple of things I'm working on. I've actually been working on for a while. And my mentor is actually just giving me a big kick in the butt. I have a master level sort of mentorship program that I am getting ready to spin back up again. And so that will be very exclusive, only for a very small group of people. It's not going to be a fit for everyone. And then I'm also getting ready to launch sort of a more open general group where people really need support these days. You know, with so much craziness going on in the world, this is going to be a group where we come together, we meet, we meditate. You know, I'll help people in the group setting sort of thing. And we'll meet a couple of times a month. And that will be more accessible, you know, to everyone. And it'll be affordable because I think people need so much help now. And I'm getting messages pretty much daily from clients who really need the extra support. They don't need to see me maybe for a reading because I only do readings a couple of times a year for people. I do coaching, which is different than doing readings. And I have clients that I work with one-on-one, so people can work with me that way as well. And yeah, so that's what I have coming up and going on right now. So if people sign up for my newsletter, then they'll be able to know what's happening when those classes come out and so forth. But yeah,
Fabulous.
but the podcast is, like I said, first episode comes out this week, drops this week.
What's the
And
name
if
of
they
your podcast?
Boldly Authentic with Cynthia Fontaine.
Boldly Authentic. I love it.
Well, because I think part of my big mission is people come, we fall into these patterns, right? From our childhood, from society, from all these things that shape who we are, but we don't really know who we are, and we get into adulthood, and then a crisis happens, and then we're like, oh, what happened, and how come I'm so unhappy? And it's because we're living through a false self, right? We're not living through who we really are. And so, really my big mission is to help people get to know themselves better and understand who they really are, what makes them tick, so that they can go out and bring their authentic self out into the world and break the patterns of the past.
Awesome. I love that. I was going to ask you, for the last words of wisdom by Cynthia Fontaine, and that was absolutely beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so important, and we just have this way about our society, our culture and religion, and what there it's been. We've just grow up in this. We have to be this. We have to be that. We are expected to be this or expected to be that. And so many of us end up in adulthood, like you said, just like, what am I? How did I get here? How did I get here? And I'm just in. And then once you realize, you're in that place, and you realize how unhappy you really are, then it's like, oh crap! How do I get out of here? What do I even do? And like, oh yeah, it's just.
Totally. So I always say people come to me for the psychic and this and also the mediumship, but they stay with me for the transformation.
I love it.
Yeah, I always say I have the best clients that I, they just, these wonderful beings just show up, on my Zoom screen or at the office door. And I feel really, really blessed to work with some of the most amazing humans on the planet. And they're everyday people. They're everyday people. And so you don't have to be famous. You don't have to be somebody who's got a big job or a big position, right? You can be a stay-at-home mom or dad and still make an impact on the
Oh,
world, because your impact starts with you first, and
completely.
then
That's everything. That you just said a mouthful. It especially, here in the United States, we have this expectation of supersizing ourselves. We've got the Oprahs and we've got the Taylor Swifts and we've got the Teresa Caputos and the Tyler Henrys, and all this these grand sports players. We just have this expectation of supersizing ourselves to it's not in all of our contracts to be that supersized. And the thing is, it doesn't mean if we don't get to that supersize that we're any less. It's what you just said, a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad still has very much equal being in serving humanity, being a stay-at-home whatever.
Stay at home
Dog
parent.
dad, even,
Yes, absolutely. Stay at home parent. And how we present ourselves to the world and what we do in the world. It even if it's a, if it impacts one person,
That's
if
it.
you change one life in some small way, and I often say you might not even know you've done that.
Totally.
So you just be the best that you can be, right? And the way that I think that we can be the best that we can be is to peel off all the things that people said we should be or we could be or we had to be and really get down to our core, which we come with a roadmap. That my you know, mentorship program is the roadmap, right? Mm-hmm. And it starts with your astrology chart. Your birth chart gives you a good picture.
Sure does.
And then there's other layers on top of that, mm-hmm. that, you know, that really help. And know that I know people have been struggling and are really not back to a lot of people mentally, emotionally, maybe even financially where they were before COVID. And if I could sort of, you know, say one thing that I would hope might help some people who are struggling is that always lean on the energy that's available to you out there. And don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it. And if you feel like that help isn't resonating with you, then go find somebody else who does resonate with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because somebody has a title, a diploma, doesn't mean that they're a good match for you. Mm. You know? And that, yeah, and communities, and trust that even during the most difficult times, we are resilient and we can get through, but we have to do it together. When we fly solo, it's so much more difficult.
I say that all the time on my shows. We are so much better together.
Yes, mm-hmm. so much better together. Yeah, so much better together.
Well, on that note, Cynthia, thank you so much for being here with us today. And you're coming back. You're joining us on the live stream on February 28th.
Yes, I'm super excited about that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Are we doing readings on that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great.
A lot awesome. Of interacting with the community, Q&A and readings. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun. I can't wait. And you're coming on my podcast. We're going to be recording that this weekend. Is that right?
I think it's next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yeah.
I know it's on my calendar.
It's after Valentine's Day. I think it's the 17th. Yeah.
17th. Right, right. Yeah. And then so that will be on the following week, I think. I have to look at my schedule. And yeah, so I'm excited about that. Can't wait to have you on my show and share you with my people. And I'm so happy to be here with you. It's been so much fun.
I can't believe.
Oh my God, we could talk for days.
I know. Cynthia,
I have to split this into two shows.
I know. I've done that before.
Yeah. Yeah, you might have to split it into two.
That's what we'll do. Thank you very much, you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us again here on Something Super Spiritual. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for being here. And we'll be again back with another exciting guest next week.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to the Something Super Spiritual podcast. If you know someone who would enjoy this episode, please do share it with a friend. For show notes, links, and to purchase a mediumship reading, my website is somethingsuperspiritual.com. You can also easily subscribe and follow the show on your favorite app, sign up for my newsletter for bonus content, and to keep the conversation going, you can easily join the Facebook community. It's all right there at the website, somethingsuperspiritual.com. Signing off for now, namaste.